Well, I wonder if we could give Jesus a quick standing ovation. Can we do that? Can we have that same reaction like they did 2,000 years ago? He is not here. He is risen. Thank you, Jesus. And the same power that rose him from the grave is here today, and I thank him for it. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise. First of all, I want to say thank you again for coming and being with us today in service. If you're looking for a great church, we do this every Sunday morning at 10:20 a.m. and 6 o'clock on Sunday night. So come back and see us again soon. I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. If you want to remain standing just for a second. And this is the Apostle Paul says that, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also receive, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Now this is what we call the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today I want to talk for just a few brief moments on Easter in three words. Easter in three words. Father, I pray you would bless your word today. God, I pray you bless every person that made the effort to be here. God, I pray bless them as they leave this place. And I pray that we would go in power and peace. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. You may be seated. Today, I would like to give you three words that I believe sums up Easter for me. And, you know, when we talk about Jesus, I worship him because of who he is, for what he did, and for what he's going to do. And I believe that these three words have to do with who he is, what he did, and what he's going to do. Who is Jesus? Well, Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Son of the living God. What does that mean? He was God in the flesh. That when we saw him, we saw God. He wasn't just a great teacher. He wasn't just a great philosopher. He just didn't have some good ideas. He wasn't just a really nice guy. But the Bible shows us that Jesus was God among us, that there is nobody like Jesus. There's never, ever going to be anyone like him, that he is God. And I'm thankful I know who Jesus is. You thankful you know who Jesus is? What did Jesus do? He voluntarily came to earth and died on our behalf. And he lived a perfect life before that. He was God's perfect lamb. After the resurrection, he appeared to close to 500 people who saw him. And then he ascended into heaven where he is advocating on our behalf today. That's what he did. What's he going to do? He's going to come back. The story's not over. This isn't about what happened. This is also about what's going to happen. Jesus is going to return, and he is going to rule and reign forever, and we won't have another presidential election. Somebody say hallelujah. So that's what God is going to do. And so from these three ideas, three facts, I want to give you three words that sum up Easter. The first word I want to give you is with. Simply the word with. What does this mean? This means that God is with us. God not only came and was with us, he is with us today. I believe that Jesus is here today. He is in this room. And I don't know about you, but I felt him today in my spirit, and I know that you can feel him too. Has anybody felt Jesus here today? The Easter message shows that God is with us. He's not some far-off deity. He didn't come as a UFO and just check in with us for a minute and then take off in his UFO ship and take off. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a videotape. He came himself to rescue us and shows us that he is deeply involved in our world. He cares about you and me. Matter of fact, he even said that he knows the number of hairs on your head. Now, I know that that's not impressive for me, but for some of us, that's impressive. God knows you intimately, and that shows us that God is with us, that he is with us here and now, that he came and he walked our streets. He knew what it was like to get tired. He knew what it was like to eat bad food. He knew what it was like to get sick. He knew what it was like to feel pain. Why? Because he had to identify with us in our experience and be with us. I love what John 1:14 says. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God dwelt among us. Every so often, you know, I hear somebody say, and I'm sure you've heard it, somebody telling a story about some miraculous thing that happened. Maybe somebody was in the hospital, somebody was really sick, maybe somebody was on the edge of death, and they'll say something like, "Well, and then we prayed, and God showed up, and everything changed." Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear those stories, I'm glad to hear those stories. I'm glad that they happened. But I have to ask a question, well, where was God before that? Does God just show up sometimes and other times he doesn't? Is he too busy to show up for some people and sometimes he just makes a guest appearance for really important occasions? Now, I don't believe that. I believe that God is already with us. I believe that God is already with us every day that we live. Why? Because he physically walked this earth and he showed us what the Father looked like. And not only that, he sent his Spirit back to be with us today. And the Holy Spirit is just the invisible presence of Jesus that we feel here today. So I refuse to believe this idea that God just kind of checks in and checks out. Sometimes he comes in and just to make sure we're not destroying the planet, make sure that we're all being nice to each other, and then he goes back to his heavenly throne and then checks out for another year or so. No, I believe that God is with us every moment of every day, every hour, no matter who we are, no matter how small. I believe he's with the children next door right now. I believe he's with the adults today. I believe that he's with people who can't even be here today. Why? Because Jesus is everywhere, because he is God. He is with us. He's with us in our situation. You know, most religions present a God that's far from humanity, who's too important, too holy to be involved in our everyday life. But that's not the God I serve. The God I serve thinks so much of you and I, wanted to be with us so much that he came as a baby and went through all the humiliation of being a human being so that he could identify and be with us. I believe that that was real blood that was shed on Calvary. I don't believe that it was some type of dream. I don't believe that it was some kind of fake human. I believe that that was a real human named Jesus Christ from a real place named Nazareth that shed real blood with real tears and physically rose again from the grave. Why? Because God is with us. Somebody say amen. Somebody clap your hands if you're thankful for that. You know, and this, if this idea of God being with us doesn't baffle you and freak you out, you need to think about it a little bit more. You know, you ever think, did Mary ever stop when she was cooking dinner and have this thought, God is about to eat my soup? If this makes him sick, I've made God sick. Can you imagine the kids that played with Jesus? You think they ever had a little conference one day and said, "Hey guys, I don't mean to be cynical here, but have you ever noticed that Jesus always wins at hide and go seek?" You think Mary ever had to pull him aside and say, "Okay, here's the deal. You need to let them win once. Okay? You're starting to give it away." That was God in a human being. God who had access to all knowledge. The God that spoke creative force and spoke the universe into existence came and lived among us. And not only that, he was with us in our sin. He was with us in our pain. And he shows that he has not forgotten us. And I want to tell you, God has not forgotten you. There's a reason why you're here today. There's a reason why you feel what you feel right now. And it's God tapping you on the shoulder saying, "I'm still here. I haven't left. I've been with you all along. And I want to be with you the rest of your life." God is with us today. Somebody thank him for it. You know, Jesus was asked a question by one of his disciples in John chapter 14. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? In other words, the disciples were like, really show us what God is. Really show us God. And Jesus saying, hello, I'm right here. That was God walking with us. And so maybe today that you can have enough faith to believe that. You can believe that Jesus came, that God came 2,000 years ago. And you have faith for 2,000 years ago. But I want to ask you, do you have faith for today? Do you really believe that God is with you today? See, I believe that because Jesus said a little bit later in that chapter, he said this, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. In other words, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not just going to take off out of here and not be with you. He says, I will come to you. How does God come to us? He comes to us through the Holy Spirit. And you can feel Jesus today simply just by lifting up your hands, just simply saying a prayer. He's with you. I believe, I really have faith in my heart today that he's standing right beside me today, helping me preach this sermon. He's standing beside you today, calming every fear that you have, saying you can do it, you can make it. You know, I love what Jesus said just before he left this earth, and he said this, and surely, Matthew 28, I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, if I didn't believe that, I would be scared to death. If I didn't believe that God was with us, I would be frightened out of my mind because this world is a fragile place. But since I believe that Jesus is with me, I believe that nothing that Satan can throw at me can turn me around. Nothing can take me out because Jesus is with me, which brings me to the next word, and that is for. Not only is Jesus with us, he is for us. God is for us. What's that mean? He's in our corner. He's in our favor. And the reason that Jesus came to be with us is because he's for us. In other words, he's on our side, fighting for our side. You know, there's a lot of people who don't believe that. A lot of Christians who don't believe that. They believe that the reason Jesus came is to show us how rotten we are and to protest us and to make us feel terrible and guilty all the time, to just make us feel like we can't do anything, that God came with the big protest sign to say no sinners allowed here. I want to tell you, that version of God, that version of Jesus is not true. Jesus is for us. Jesus is hoping you make it. Jesus is doing everything he can to help you make it. He is in your corner today. He's not some sick, manipulative God who's like a Lord of the Hunger Games that tries to throw obstacles in your way to try to take you out. He is with you, trying to help you overcome. I refuse to believe that a God that loved us so much that he left heaven to die on the cross on our behalf would just leave us and not be for us, because he's with us and he's for us. That's what the cross says. The cross says, I am for you. You know, when we think about what you hear the word Jesus, you should think about, he's for me. This means he wants me to flourish. He wants me to succeed. He wants me to overcome. He wants me to find my purpose. He wants me to live a joy-filled life. Jesus wants the best for me. And any version of God that you get that doesn't agree with that is wrong. Jesus is for you. He's not angry at you. He's angry for you. He wants you so badly. And all we have to do is surrender. He is for us. Why is God for us? He is for us because he created us in his glory for his honor. He created us for him. So that tells me, he's for me. You know, the scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He was for us before we were for him. Before we were on his side, he was for us. That's why he came and he died for us. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I love what he says three verses later. And what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What's that mean? The fight is fixed because we not only have a judge, but the same person who's our judge is also our advocate, pleading our innocence. And all we have to do is surrender to him, and the fight is fixed today because God is for us. Somebody praise God today. God is your lawyer in the courtroom. He's your defender. Not only is God for us, but he's against anything that's against us, making it powerless. We can't fail if God's on our side. You know, I think of what Colossians 2, 13 and 14 says. You know, that we were powerless in our sin. We owed God a debt that we could never, ever pay back in a billion years. But he came and he fought on our behalf because he's for us. In Colossians 2, Paul says this: when you were dead in your sins and in circumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, and has taken it away and nailed it to the cross. Let me tell you what that means. That means that you owed God a debt that you could never, ever pay back. And God came, and not only did he wipe the debt away, he says, I'm going to work on your behalf to pay back the debt that you owe. Now, I don't know about you, but if I owed somebody $1 billion, and they said, I'm going to pay it, and not only am I going to pay it, but I'm going to do the work that will pay it, that would make me believe that that person is for me. And so any idea that you have that God is against you, that he's stacked the deck against you, and that he's rigged the thing against you, I want to tell you that is not true. The system was rigged against us before Calvary. We owed a debt to God. We owed a debt because we were sinners that we could never pay back. But Jesus lived a perfect life. And he died and he bled on that cross and he rose again the third day, and he's made his spirit available to us today so that we can owe him nothing. We can owe him no debt. Why? Because we've been washed by his blood and we claim his righteousness on the precious blood of Calvary that goes into our effect. By the blood of Jesus, I am set free. By the blood of Jesus, I owe no debt. I wonder if somebody could stand on your feet and thank God that he paid it all. Thank God that he paid the debt. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody glad that the debt has been canceled, that he did the work on Calvary? And we can clap to this, but you know, really a lot of people, here's what they will say. You ask them, do you think you're going to go to heaven? Do you think you're okay? And they'll give you some answer like this that says that God, you know, he kind of operates on a point system. And as long as you've done more good than bad at the end of your life, you're good to go. And that you earn points by doing good things. That every time you help a elderly lady across the street or get groceries or you donate to charity, that you get more points. And if you do something bad, points are deducted, and somewhere along the way, God knows everything. And just as long as you have more good points than bad points, you're okay. Why don't I tell you that there's something seriously wrong with that philosophy, because you don't want that to be true, because you have more bad points than what you could ever know. Think of all the points that you would lose every time you thought something that went against God's word. Anytime you had an intention of doing something that went against God's word, even if you didn't do it, you would lose points. So first of all, let's do away with that system, because nobody can live up, ain't nobody going to heaven if that system's true. And the gospel is totally different than that. It says this, that Jesus puts points in your account based on what he did, regardless of what you are and what you did. And on his righteousness, you are declared justified before God. And I don't know about you, but I like that system a whole lot better than trying to earn God's favor. You see, the gospel is a gospel of grace, which means unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. God is with you despite your problems. That in the middle of our mess, in the middle of your addiction, in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your bad decisions, in the middle of everything that makes you you, God says, you know what? I am with you and I am for you anyway. I'm for you regardless of what you are. Why? Because I see something in you that you are made in my image, you are made for my glory, and you are made for so much more than what you're living. And I'm for you despite your problems. That's the God I serve. If you came in here today with an addiction, God's for you. He's not against you. He's for you. He'll help you with that. He's got it. He's on your side. You can't ever get to a point where God is against you enough that he won't offer you grace. He will always offer you grace. We just have to surrender. And we don't have enough good deeds that we can impress him. You could never impress God because he's perfect. But I want to tell you that we have a truth here today, and that is this, is that we don't get good to get God. We get God, and he makes us good. And you might be saying, well, I could never be as good as these people here today. Pastor, I could never live up to what some of these people, how they live. Well, tell me, first of all, we have more problems than what you know. And second of all, the only righteousness that we have is because one day we discovered the truth of grace, that God loves us despite our problems, and that helps us love him more, and that is reflected in our lives. That's what grace is all about. And that brings us to our third word today, that God is with us, God's for us, God's ahead of us. In other words, we're going to talk about what God is going to do. You know what convinces me that God's ahead of us? That is the resurrection. When Jesus rose from the grave, it was a picture of us that he's not behind the times. He's not struggling to keep up. God's ahead of us. God's pulling us into the future. That the same God that spoke creation and spoke universes into existence and everything that we see, everything that we understand, he spoke it. He's way ahead of us, and he's pulling us into this incredible future that he has for us. You know, some people associate God with being behind the times, that God is just struggling to keep up with this modern world. You know, anybody here ever have a bag phone? Come on, I see some hands. Anybody ever? Yeah, I see some hands. You know, the big old cell phones? I had one of those until I was about 22. And I might be somewhat bitter about it. But I went to college. Moral of the story is pay for your own cell phone and you can pick out your own cell phone, right? But I went to college and everybody had these sleek new, I guess at the time they were Nokias, those small cell phones. And I had this huge bag phone and everybody made fun of me for about 2 years. Matter of fact, it got stolen and I thought I would get a new nice one. And instead, they gave me a new bag phone. Glad I got that off my chest. But some people have this perception of God that he's carrying a bag phone and everybody else has like the new iPhone. I want to tell you, that's not true. God's way ahead of us. Any technology that's been developed, it doesn't take him by surprise. Anything that develops here on earth doesn't take him by surprise. He sees the end from the beginning. And through the resurrection, he has defeated death once and for all. And that same power that resurrected him is going to pull us ahead of the future. And I believe with all my heart that we will be resurrected bodily from the grave, all that who have experienced Jesus. I believe that. With anybody else believe that? That he's ahead of us? 1 Corinthians 15 says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I love how the message says it. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first of a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. Anybody going to leave the cemetery one day? You see, I've seen the future in the Word of God, and it's bright. God is ahead of us. He says, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may come also. That God is in heaven preparing a place, and I believe that one day heaven is going to come to earth with Jesus, and there's going to be no more hospitals, no more funeral homes, there's going to be no more prisons, there's no going to be no more torment, no more terrorism, no more pain, no more suffering, because he's ahead of us, and he's pulling us into the future. The future is bright, and we have nothing to fear, because God is with us, God is for us, and God is ahead of us. And those of us who know Christ today, we have nothing to fear. What can be against us? Can death be against us? Can cancer be against us? No, because if Christ is for us, who can be against us? And with the arrival of Jesus 2,000 years ago, it shows that Jesus knows where we're at. He's deeply involved. And I believe that he wouldn't make the trip all the way here and die for us if he didn't want to give us a better future. It's going to get better. I love what Revelation 21, 1 through 5 says. One of my favorite scriptures. It says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them.'" What's that mean? He's going to be with us physically. "They will be his people." In other words, God's for us. "And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And here's my favorite part: "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" What's that mean? I'm ahead of you. I'm going to recreate this whole thing. I'm going to recreate you. One day, God's going to give us new glorified bodies that don't hurt anymore. Might throw you off if you see me in heaven, because I will have hair. But we will be the perfection of health. Why? Because God's ahead of us. There will be no more strife. No more family fights. No more wars. No more hearing politicians say ridiculous things about one another. Why? Because there's a better king coming, pulling us into a better future. And he's ahead of us. Somebody thank God for that. I wonder if we could stand to our feet right now. I want to tell you, God's with you, God's for you, and God's ahead of you. But here's the thing: all of God's promises require us to surrender ourselves. All of God's promises require our cooperation. God is with you. God's for you. He's not against you. I wonder if we could close our eyes real quickly all across this place. I wonder if there would be anybody here today. Every eye closed. We really focus here for a second. Anybody here today that says, "You know what? I want a fresh start with Jesus. I want to surrender my life to him." You know, the Bible tells us that we must repent. What's that mean? It means to change our mind. To change our mind about God. Some of you haven't repented because you think God's against you. I want to tell you, God's for you. God wants to save you. So as we have every eye closed, every head bowed, today, if you're here today and you just want to lift up your hand and say, "God, I want a fresh start. I want a new beginning." Why don't you lift up your hand right now? No one's looking around. Thank you. I see those hands. Awesome. Anybody here that wants a fresh start in Jesus, just raise that hand. Thank you. You can put those hands down. Wow. Let's keep our eyes closed. Father, I pray for every person, Lord, that raised their hand. God, it may not look impressive, but for a lot of people, that took a lot of courage to say, "God, I surrender and I want a fresh start." God, and I pray you would give them that fresh start today. God, I pray you would show them that you're with them, you're for them, and you're ahead of them, that you have a great future for them. This is not the end. It's just the beginning. Matter of fact, today could be the day of a whole new life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.